But like any development, it has its proponents and its opponents. We'll hear from both today, and I'd really like to hear from listeners, especially listeners in Cranbrook and the surrounding communities, and from other people too. But if you want to get in on this discussion and you live in the Kootenays, call now, toll free, 1-877-399-9898. Because you didn't have to be here long to know that there were strong feelings on this issue, and I suspect on both sides of it. Grant Costello is a Fadius Project Management, and Meredith Hempstead with the Jumbo Creek Conservation Society. I welcome both to the program, but Mr. Costello, if I could start with you by getting you to tell us just what the Jumbo Glacier Resort would look like, what it, in your opinion, would do for the region.
Thank you, Bill, and thanks for the invitation to be here. The Jumbo Glacier Resort Project is located 55 kilometers west of Invermere in the central Purcell Mountains. It's an area of abundant snowfall, and it's just south of the Bugaboos, which is a world-famous resort renowned for its snow worldwide. We think that it would be a tremendous economic benefit for the community and the region in that it would create about 700 or 800 permanent jobs over the 20-year development cycle, and it would bring tourists into the region and complement the other tremendous mix of skiing in the Kootenays, which includes not only cat skiing and heli skiing, but several major resorts.
What kind of elevation are we talking about?
Well, there is the principal reasons that we chose Jumbo is that it's at a high elevation. The base is at 5,500, which is slightly higher than Rogers Pass, and the peaks, Jumbo itself, is over 11,000 feet, and so there'd be at least a 5,000 vertical skiable area of fantastic snow.
How would that compare with something like Whistler?
Well, Whistler has 5,000 vertical, and the main difference is that it's at a lower elevation, so Jumbo was specially chosen because of the high elevation of the base, so that the snow should be good powder conditions from top to bottom. It wouldn't be subject to rainfall and other inclement conditions that some areas do because they're lower.
So would you have a resort that would in some ways rival Whistler?
No, I don't. I think it would be very different. It would attract a different clientele, and certainly it would never be anywhere near that size. But the one feature that would stand out is that it comprises four glaciers, and it would not only operate in the winter, but it would operate in the summer as well, and there would be incredible summer skiing on these four glaciers.
Year-round skiing?
Year-round skiing and sightseeing.
And where are you at in terms of approval?
Well, we're nearing the end of an approval process that's taken a number of years. Right now, we're nearing the end of the environmental assessment review, and that will be probably reported to ministers, and they'll make a decision in about 75 days.
Okay, Meredith Hempstead, Jumbo Creek Conservation Society. Good morning. Welcome to you.
Thank you very much, Bill.
You're among those leading the fight to stop this.
Yes, I am.
Why?
Well, first I should say that the Jumbo Creek Conservation Society is a local society with 500 members. Those members have been opposing this resort proposal for over a decade now. And their reasons for opposition are quite diverse. I think a major point right now is that the community level of opposition sits at about 90%. That has remained fairly constant over the last decade. And people's reasons for opposition include economic concerns, environmental concerns, and right to a community to self-determine its future.
Tell me what you mean by economic concerns, because it sounds like something that would provide great economic benefit.
Grant mentioned that the resort is 55 kilometers away from Invermere. The previous segment, folks were talking about airport expansion. Jumbo Glacier Resort is 55 kilometers into the wilderness backcountry of British Columbia. It's 55 kilometers away from the nearest economy. Essentially, we would be looking at creating a community over twice the population of the nearest community of Invermere, and pulling government infrastructure investment, pulling tourism opportunity away to a community that's an hour and a half distant from the nearest existing community. Not only that, there is some debate about the economic viability of the project. In order to get to Jumbo Glacier Resort from Invermere, you're talking about a minimum 4.5-hour drive. To get there from Cranbrook, you're probably looking at about maybe 2.5 to 3 hours. So there are questions about what the benefit of this resort proposal would be to existing communities. The District of Invermere recently published a staff report, independent staff report, that states that the project would not, in fact, benefit the local community, and that the cost of developing this project would far exceed the benefits to the communities of the Columbia Valley.
Mr. Costello?
Well, Bill, we believe that tourism and ski visits in the region are increasing dramatically. Sandy Santori, the Minister of State for Resort Development, announced this spring that the 1.5 million skier visits to the Kootenays increased by 20% this year. So it's a growing market, and so we feel that along with the growing market for British Columbia and the number of skier visits there have doubled over the last 10 years, that we're going into a market that's actually increasing. In terms of the distance from the community, when the road is completed, it'll be an hour drive, so add an hour onto the distance from Invermere to Calgary Airport, or an hour onto the drive from the airport here in Cranbrook, and you have easily accessible resort facilities that will be easier to get to than a lot of the resorts in Colorado. So I don't think that access is a problem. As a matter of fact, access is one of the reasons that we chose this location.
But where would most people who are going to ski it stay?
They would. Well, we would have 5,500 beds there upon completion. So most of them would stay there. But other people would also stay in Panorama, which is 36 kilometers short of the proposed area. They would stay in Invermere. We estimate that 10% of the overflow will come down to the valley, and that's a huge economic benefit to the community itself.
Meredith, do you disagree?
Yes, I do disagree, as a matter of fact. The Panorama right now, average capacity or average fill rate in the beds at the resort over the course of the year is somewhere between 30% and 40% over the year. Panorama certainly seems to be doing very well. The reality of ski resort development now is that a ski hill alone is not the economic driver. It's the sale of real estate. And so we have wholesale liquidation of Crown land for private consumption. As soon as the first private unit is sold at Panorama, suddenly that 55 kilometers of highway that goes through mountain passes, past avalanche chutes, that would make Rogers Pass look something like child's play. As soon as the first private unit is sold, that road becomes the responsibility of the provincial government, the taxpayers of British Columbia, and the private benefit falls into the hands of investors that at this point are unknown to the public, may potentially be unknown to the provincial government. So we don't know where the money is coming from. We don't know where the profit will be going to, but we do know where the significant portion of the infrastructure costs will be coming from. And that's the taxpayers of British Columbia.
But the taxpayers also benefit from the revenue generated from the mountain and from the resort. Whistler's a prime example of that. $1 million a day comes out of Whistler in taxes back to government, close to $500 million a year in tax revenue.
Absolutely. In the case, however, of the Jungle Glacier Resort, that tax benefit will not be going directly to the communities that are impacted. The District of Invermere, as I said, is 55 kilometers away. It's a community that has significant infrastructure improvement requirements. Those tax benefits will be directed to Victoria first through the regional district, and then may or may not return to the communities of the Columbia Valley. The Regional District of East Kootenay has a development policy right now that development should most appropriately occur in and around existing communities, and the reason for that is to contain the tax benefit, the benefit to infrastructure in existing communities, and not 55 kilometers into the wilderness.
I must take a break. You're with Bill Good on the Chorus Radio Network, broadcasting today from Cranbrook, and you may be hearing about the Jumba Resort for the first time. If you're in the Lower Mainland, believe me, people here have been talking about it for a good long time, and I'd like to hear from them, especially if you're listening today on the drive in Cranbrook, Kimberley, or on CJDR in Fernie and Sparwood on 99.1 FM. Our toll-free number for you is 1-877-399-9898, 604-280-9898. Back after a break.
Uh-huh. Live from the Delta St. Eugene Mission Resort in Cranbrook, here again is your host, Bill Good.
The Jumbo Glacier Resort proposal, if you live in this area, you've been hearing about this on and off for about 13 years, but for many people in other parts of the province, it's perhaps a debate that's new to you. I welcome your calls, questions, thoughts on this. And again, I encourage those of you in the Kootenays to call me, toll free, 1-877-399-9898, because I'd like to hear what you think about this, having heard the arguments for a good long time. Jacqueline in Invermere.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I have a question for the representative for the developer. I'd like to know that given that BC's leading grizzly bear experts have stated that if approved, this resort will permanently affect the bears of the Central Purcells by severing a critical north-south corridor of grizzly bear distribution. How can the developer possibly address the permanent destruction of internationally important grizzly habitat?
Grant Costello.
Well, you know, we've been doing studies on this issue for a long time, and the experts that we've hired and the experts that the government is using have obviously come to some conclusions, and we'll be seeing the results of that in the report that will be out in the next few months. All I can say is that the issue has been studied extensively, and I'm sure if the government feels that the project can proceed and the mitigation of the impacts are satisfactory to them, then it'll proceed.
I have another question for you.
Sure.
Who wants to ski with grizzly bears?
Well, I've never actually seen one on a slope in 50 years. But really, the questions that Meredith raised about the opposition and some of the issues, we can't answer all of those today. But the fact is that the process that we're going through right now with the environmental review is not a referendum. And it's a high-level review of technical issues. And so the input that's been received from the public that is not directed towards those issues, it may be counted numerically, but really, has it addressed the technical issues? Any of the issues that have been addressed have been responded to by ourselves and by our consultants.
Jacqueline, a question. How many grizzly bears are in the area? Do we know?
Well, based on the studies and the literature to date, there could be up to 67 bears that use that area, and possibly more. What's critical about the Jumbo area in particular is that it's the southern end of a very important corridor for grizzly bears linking to the United States. And scientists that have been hired, in fact, the government's own scientist that studied this issue for the Jumbo project has stated that there is no way to mitigate for the loss of these populations.
But it's not exactly a pristine area, is it?
It's not
I was told last night that the area has been logged. There are logging roads in it. Is that true?
That's correct. Grizzly bears don't care about logging. Grizzly bears care about intact habitat. And as soon as you put roads through there and put tens of thousands of people permanently there, the bears are gone, period.
Okay, thank you. Kurt in Golden, hi. Kurt, are you there?
Hi, this is Monroe.
Okay, Monroe.
Hi.
Also in Invermere.
How are you? Thanks for this opportunity. I just had a couple of areas that I've, you know, from the beginning that I had to answer for myself. And I work up that way every day, by the way, and I build log houses, and we build a lot of them at Panorama Village, and I'm looking forward to maybe doing some up Jumbo. But the biggest question I had was, is this a pristine wilderness area? And it isn't. You know, it's hunted regularly. The grizzlies are hunted up there every year. And, you know, the other thing that I want to note is, does the proponent have a good track record? And he does. He has a very good track record.
Give me a sense of your track record.
Well, he did Kicking Horse up at Golden, for instance.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is going to be a success. You know, every business has its ups and downs, but I think that quality development will get quality results. The other thing that this project will do is improve our tax base. I mean, these people that usually stay and come to an area like this, from my experience anyway, they drop a lot of money in our area, and they do not use infrastructure. Their kids go to school in Alberta usually, or wherever they're from. They do not use, in for the most part, they don't use our hospitals or our long-term care facilities, and yet they pay sometimes more taxes than the residents do because they, of course, sometimes they have their second home, so they pay tremendous taxes in this area.
And if the resort's successful, those become very high-end homes. Meredith, your thoughts? You wanted to make a comment around the Grizzly question?
I wanted to make a couple of comments. I think that Monroe raised some good points, as did Jacqueline. I'd like to address the grizzly bear question very briefly. The proponent has proposed that they would attempt to have no net negative impact on the grizzly bear populations of the Central Purcells. This sounds very good on paper. Unfortunately, the mitigation strategy that has been proposed is to close public vehicular access in six drainages, which covers the vast majority of the bridge between the southern and central Purcells. Basically, what we're talking about here is that in order to potentially achieve no net impact to the grizzly bears as a result of one private development, the public that utilizes the backcountry would be summarily excluded in a vast area, an area almost the size of the entire Purcell Wilderness Conservancy.
But you make it sound like the public wouldn't use the resort facility, and the public would undoubtedly use it in a, you know...
Absolutely. The resort would get lots of use. We think that the resort would get over 600,000 visits per year, potentially. In order to permit 600,000 people per year to come to a single area to create private benefit, the public of British Columbia will be summarily excluded from Crown land that they pay for through their tax dollars.
Now,
the second comment.
But just a minute, is this a question of public versus private, or is it a case of backpackers versus skiers?
We're not just talking about backpackers versus skiers. We're talking about a huge area of British Columbia's Crown land that is highly used. Monroe is absolutely correct. This is not a pristine area by any stretch of the imagination. It has seen logging. It has seen mining in the past.
But what I'm trying to come at this as a visitor, and what I'm hearing is. It's being used by hunters who hunt grizzly bears.
Yes.
It's being used by loggers. It's being used by backpackers and hikers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all okay.
Absolutely. There is no permanent negative impact from this use. In fact, the Jumbo Creek Conservation Society encourages the maintenance of existing uses in that area. RK Heliski uses the area. We have our national ski teams.
That's a private company too, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. The debate is not about private use of Crown land. We have no opposition to private use of Crown land. In fact, we encourage the development of businesses that have no permanent negative environmental impact in the Jumbo Valley. If this resort is built, it will permanently, I mean indefinitely, damage the very significant ecological values of
the Purcell Valley. But doesn't hunting a grizzly bear have a permanent impact negative, particularly on that grizzly bear?
Absolutely. We're fortunate.
Actually, no, because I have to break, but this is getting good. I want your calls. 1-877-399-9898. You're with Bill Good on the Chorus Radio Network, and we'll be back to take your calls and hear more from my guests right after this.
This is a special edition of The Bill Good Show, the 2004 Goodwill Tour of the Province. Now, live from the Delta St. Eugene Mission Resort in Cranbrook, here is your host, Bill Good.
Talking about another potential resort, the Jumbo Glacier Resort. Grant Costello is here to tell us why he thinks this is a good thing for the province of British Columbia. Meredith Hamstead with the Jumbo Creek Conservation Society is opposed, and you heard many of her reasons for being opposed. But Mr. Costello, just before the break, you wanted to answer to some of the concerns that Meredith had raised, and we ran out of time.
Right, Bill. First, let me just go back to our project fundamentals, and that is, first of all, we chose this area because of its abundant snow. Secondly, because of the elevation, so we know that the snow is going to be dependable through all seasons. Thirdly, the access. Now, Meredith brought up the point of the road. Certainly, the road, when completed, will be maintained by the public after the resort is built. But that assumes that the resort itself is going to generate tax dollars, which will adequately pay for the additional cost of maintenance. Second thing is that the road is one of the more easy roads to develop compared to any other ski area in North America that we know of, because it rises very gently over 55 kilometers, only about 2,500 feet. And there are no switchbacks, there are no canyons in the road further up, and it's an easy developable road. So it's not going to be funded by the public, the developer is going to pay for it. Secondly, in terms of the grizzlies, Jacqueline mentioned that there's 67 grizzlies living in the Upper Jumbo area. That's a valley of 20 kilometers, and there's no conceivable way those numbers make any sense. The studies that were done show that there were hair samples from two grizzlies that were collected in that particular area. And as a result of that, and the other studies that have been done, the plan changed and modified dramatically over the years to reduce the impact on the wildlife. And it's been the ski area boundary itself has been decreased by 60% to reflect the fact that that there are wildlife in the area.
Okay, let me get back to some calls. And it's great to have calls online from Invermere and Golden and Merritt and Kimberley, as well as Vancouver and Coquitlam. Kurt in Golden, good morning.
Yes, hello.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with our last caller there. I thank him for his call. I'd like to look at, you know, what the proponent here has done for Golden, you see, and what is his credibility. Our town here, once a main forest industry, is down to roughly about 10% of what it used to be. And being involved in forestry previous years, I spent many years in the bush, on a personal level with grizzly bears as well, up many trees, you might say. And now myself, I'm into the designing homes, developing homes for resort-type properies.
So you'd support the development, I take it?
Right, but I see what it has done for our town here, and we're totally diverse and very profitable. He has absolutely saved our economy here.
I'd like to just comment on that. The Kicking Horse development, first of all, was very, very supported by the community of Golden. It was something that the community really rallied around, got behind. Secondly, this is front country development, expansion of an existing ski resort immediately attached to an existing economy.
Kicking Horse
is. Jumbo is a very, very different project. We're talking about the creation of a brand new community 55 kilometers away from an existing economy and developed from scratch. There is no infrastructure, there's no power, there's no water treatment, there's no dangerous goods storage. All of this would have to be built from scratch.
Okay, I want to get to Doug and Kimberly before I take my next break. He's been waiting patiently. Doug, hi.
Hi, Bill. Just a couple quick comments for the proposal. And basically for economic reasons. I'm in the tourism business myself, so I'm for it for those reasons also. But this whole region is in transition right now, and that jumbo project in this corner of the province is just going to mean so much for our economy going into 2010. So that's my main point of view. The other one, I've followed it, as I said, for quite a while. And some of the numbers that the anti-jumbo people are using alluded to the 67 grizzly bears that we went over, which is ludicrous. The 90% of opposition in the area,
yes,
is crazy. I mean, it's emotional on the negative side. But there are business people and, let's say, what I consider forward-thinking people up and down the valley and in Invermere. And that 90% number I just discount entirely. As far as it being bigger than Invermere, that's another thing. And we've heard numbers like there's going to be a city of 7,000 people up there from the anti-jumbo side. They've taken all the numbers and at full build-out, 20 or 25 years into the future, and used them in what I think is quite a negative way anyway.
Doug, I appreciate your call, but I'm getting late for a break, so I must. You're with Bill Good on the Chorus Radio Network, broadcasting live today from Cranbrook, from the Gene Mission Resort. Beautiful Delta property, toll-free, 1-877-399-9898. Back with more of your calls, including 604-280-9898. We are also going to be exploring health care in this region in our final hour. And I know we're going to get a lot of calls from Kimberley and Cranbrook and Fernie, areas like that, when we get to that topic. But more on the Jumbo Glacier Resort after this break.
live from the Delta St. Eugene Mission Resort in Cranbrook. Here again is your host, Bill Good.
Talking about the proposed Jumbo Glacier Resort, which is a very hot topic in Kootenai communities, talking with Grant Costello. He's the Thaddeus Project Management Representative. Meredith Hampstead represents the Jumbo Creek Conservation Society. She's giving us her reasons why she thinks this is not a good idea. And we go back to your calls. Glenn in Coquitlam.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to put this in a bit of context. Downhill skiing is a mature sport. It is not growing. It's a no-growth industry. And I think this particular ski development follows the same pattern as other ski developments. And basically, it's not about skiing, it's about land development. The profits will not come from the sale of tickets, they're going to come from real estate.
But is there something fundamentally wrong with that?
Well, yes, the thing that's fundamentally wrong with that is that it's Crown land. We're taking a public asset that's owned by the people of British Columbia, and we're putting it up for sale for private gain. And the arguments in favor of this ski development, as with all of them, are about short-term gain, financial gain. Now, once they've moved into this area, which I presume they wish to go into because of its beauty and its wilderness values, that land is gone forever.
Mr. Costello, he raises very good questions.
Yes. Well, first of all, his idea about the condition of the ski industry is basically wrong. It's growing. It's growing in BC. It's growing in Colorado. It's growing in the U.S. And the reason for that, one of the reasons, is that the baby boomers are skiing longer. They're healthier. They're wealthier. They have more energy. New techniques, new equipment, and so on. The soft boots, the shaped skis, has allowed them to ski longer because it's easier on them. The Echo Boomers, 70 million in North America, are adding new life to the ski industry. So,
what about his other point, though? Because I think that's the critical one. Do you buy the land from the Crown in order to sell it privately?
Of course. Every ski resort in BC buys land from the Crown. That's part of the commercial alpine ski policy, and that's what really created the success of Whistler and Blackcomb.
Nobody's handing over the land to you. You're having to buy the land from the Crown.
Sure. And you have to create a master development agreement with the government, and they evaluate the land, and then you sell it. But that's how ski resorts are.
Oh, I understand that. But sure. I want the public to understand his question, because he's right in the sense that it's golf courses are the same, I believe, that most don't make money based just on their fees. They make money. The overall business plan, as in ski hills, relies on a resort being developed and real estate being sold.
That's right. And the real estate, the raw land that's bought from the government, is serviced and then resold, and that helps pay for the infrastructure, because you can't finance a ski lift these days, so real estate is part of the component. But the other component is the private capital, which we bring to the table. At the end of the day, it's the tax dollars that are generated by this land that helps contribute to the provincial economy.
And that's what makes it attractive to the government.
Exactly.
Meredith.
I'd just like to comment that private businesses, not only do they have a right to, but certainly should seek profit where they can. Unless you have a publicly owned asset, as the caller has stated, and where the sale of that public asset is roundly opposed by the communities and individuals that would be affected by the sale of that asset. Opposition, as I said before, sits around 90%.
But that asset, that asset belongs to the people of the province, not just to the people living in the neighborhood.
Absolutely. However, I think that, again, we come back to the question of a community's right to determine its future. Right now, we have a number of communities in the East Kootenai, in the fringe of the so-called Heartland, who are saying very, very clearly to the provincial government, we don't want this development. We don't think this development will help our communities grow in the way that we very clearly stated.
Final segment on this topic when we come back. You're with Bill Good on the Chorus for Radio Network. We're going to do one more segment on the Jumbo Glacier Resort. Then we're moving on to health care, a very hot topic in this region as it is in most parts of BC.
Thank you. live from the Delta St. Eugene Mission Resort in Cranbrook. Here again is your host, Bill Good.
Toll-free 1-877-399-9898. I won't reintroduce my guests. I think you know who they are by now, and we're short of time. But we're talking about a controversial Jumbo Glacier Resort that one of my guests, Grant Costello, hopes to build in the Invermere area. It's closest to Invermere?
Closest to Invermere. Closest.
Meredith Hampstead hopes she's able to prevent that development, and I'm anxious to get as many calls as I can, and I'm going to make sure I get to Victoria in Windermere.
Hello, Bill.
Victoria, hi.
Hello, Bill.
Go ahead.
I want to enter this topic because my concerns originally were environmental, which are well documented, and then they became economic. I happen to know people at Kicking Horse who are concerned about the fact that they are not getting the skier visits that they need for the business to survive, and that this business will compete with a local successful RK heli ski business, and that's why the District of Invermere has voted against it, as well as because the project creates more costs that outweigh the benefits that it will receive.
Mr. Costello?
In the end,
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Victoria, go ahead and finish.
My concern in the end, and it's greater than either of those two issues, is the question of democracy. There have been, according to the BC Environmental Assessment Office, 4,800 submissions from across the province, and they are 90% opposed. This is only the second largest level of submissions they've had on a development issue in the province.
It's actually the largest ever.
Yes, but the other thing that was overwhelming for them was that they got 400 or more positive letters of support, which they've never had one on any other development that they reviewed. So, and we have strong community support. We have an advisory committee that's been set up with local people who are staying involved in advising us on the process. We have letters from the Kootenai Rockies supporting the project. We have letters from Interwest, who are the industry leaders, saying that this would be a good thing for them. They know we're going to grow the pie. They're familiar with the two mountain concept. And in addition to that, if this project gets off the ground, we'll have a training center for our winter sports athletes in the summer, and they'll they won't have to go to South America and Europe anymore, and we'll be preparing for 2010.
Rod at Invermere.
Yes, thanks for the chance to talk here. My name is Rod, and I am the operations manager at RK Heliski. Very familiar with this situation. I want to mention a couple of things. First, to maybe try and untwist some of the points that have been said so far listening this morning, Mr. Costello mentioned that the spot was picked so to avoid the rain that happens in, like Whistler, that there is no rainfall, and I quote, and that's just an absolute lie. After 17 years of guiding here on a daily basis in the winter, I know how much it does rain all the way to mountaintop, and at least a couple of times a year that happens. He talks about that skier visits are up in this region, and that while that I can't argue that fact, when you're comparing it against the year before, which we all know is probably the worst snow year in 30 years and the wildest avalanche cycle year in the same 30, maybe 50 years, it's not hard to go up.
Is your biggest concern, though, the competition that this will bring?
It's not a competition. My biggest concern is the business issue. We have tenure in this area. We've been in business for 34 years. We're in year three of a 20-year tenure renewal to the area, and this will put us out of business. The ground that they're trying to incorporate in this ski area represents where we do most of our skiing, and if we take most of any business away, their opportunity to operate, they're out of business, it goes without saying.
I have only 30 seconds left in the segment. Yep. I want Mr. Costello to give me a brief response, if he could.
The 2,000 square kilometer tenure that RK holds has lots of room for further development, and we believe, as other experts in the industry, that we can work together to improve their business. The government has obviously got people working on this issue. We expect it to be resolved shortly.
I thank you both. A very interesting discussion.
Thank you,
toll free 1-877-399-9898. When we come back, healthcare, and I would really like to hear from people in this region. Back after the news.